1 minute until showtime.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, David, how you doing today?
I'm good. It's just me and you right now. Oh, wait, here comes somebody. 7720. Oh, okay, this is Don. Say hello and welcome, and we got, you know, some of the panelists are in, three good ones are in, so we're ready to start the show. We hope everyone is having a great Sunday. It's kind of chilly out there in some of the places, and some of the places it's fairly nice if you're in Florida or somewhere like that. So good evening, gentlemen. How are you doing? Let's see who answers.
Doing good, David. How's everybody doing? This is Michael from Los Angeles, California.
All right, Don, how are you? I see Don is there, but I don't know.
Hello, David, and the rest of the panel. Don from South Florida, checking in.
Right, and I think Mr. Solutions is in also, right?
Hello.
Oh, there we go. Yes, sir. All right. Let's get started here. I know that there's a lot going on. And, of course, with the holidays coming up, and, you know, we will be a little taking care of the holidays ourselves. And but I want to start out with, like, Michael, is there something that you wanted to bring to the table?
Oh, yes. Thank you, David, for calling on me first. I have something that's just been on my mind, and I just had to get it off. And it's in regards to the war going on right now between Israel and Palestine. It's been just dominating the news, and everyone's talking about it. What I would like to bring up, David, is the fact that right now the United States Congress is debating on sending a check, billions of dollars, to Israel. No, they're trying to tie that check into border funding here in the United States, meaning there's the Republicans are saying, well, if we're going to send a check over to Israel, let's send a check down to the border first so we can fix the problem here, which is the American southern border. So that's a heavy debate. Now, I'm a Democrat, but for the first time, I'm on the side of the Republicans. I think we need to be sending money anywhere other than right here in the United States. We got too many problems going on here to be sending checks to other countries. And I look at the news every day. It seems like Israel's doing a very good job in the war against Palestine. They're demolishing their enemy, Palestine. I don't see that they even need a check. So why are we bending over backwards to send a check to Israel? I just don't get it. So, yeah, I would like to throw that one out there to the panel. Am I wrong or am I right, guys?
All right, Don, I'm seeing problems with your mic. Are you okay? Yeah. Can you answer that?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, you're there. Okay, good.
Michael, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I cannot understand for the life of me why we are continually financing the war with Israel and Gaza. I mean, It's like a big elephant fighting a mosquito. That's what it reminds me of. and we're financing the elephant. And the thing is, the Democratic Party, especially Biden, our president, is losing public opinion like never before. I got friends in Michigan, and a lot of my friends in Michigan are from Palestine. And they're telling me that we are not going to support Biden in the upcoming election. The Palestine vote and the black vote in the Democratic Party has not been taken care of correctly. And politically speaking, it's a bad move. Politically, economically, we've got serious problems and issues on the border of the United States, the economy of the United States, the homeless in the United States. The housing industry in Florida is crazy. I mean, I've never seen the housing industry like this in my entire life that we're going through in the state of Florida, especially South Florida. Michael, you're right on target. And if we don't wake up, it's going to be a Trojan horse situation.
All right, Mr. Solution, what is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, hello. Thanks, David. This is a pretty easy answer. First of all, most of the foreign aid that's given to Israel, it's the age-old adage, follow the money. Most of that money is returned to arms producers, manufacturers. That money is returned to them in terms of the munitions. So that's a huge issue right there. Every ordnance that's exploded generates phenomenal capital in the thousands of dollars. So that is the way that your munitions manufacturers, contractors are able to get this money returned. And it's war is big money, and make no mistake about it. Nations go to war urged by particular interest in order to generate capital. That's what got us basically out of the depression of the 30s. So money is one huge factor. The other factor is going to be the spying, and I think that is it is conditioned upon really whether they want to do it. This whole thing, to me, seems to be a setup, because everybody had intelligence information as to what was occurring, and it was allowed to occur anyway. So anyway, so those two things, information gathering and arms selling, is, I think, prime motivators for this continuing fiasco. One other quick thing, David, and this is just for you, if you choose to accept it, is freeconferencecall.com. I notice Blog Talk has a lot of problems with their setup. So anyway, maybe that's something you can look into. You know, it seems to be a good program. The clarity is good. So it's freeconferencecall, and it may be hd.com, but that's just something you can put to the side. But yes, going back to the what's the motivation for this particular. It's traumatic for the people. War is hell. It's traumatic for the people that are in it, of course. War is absolute hell. And when I was in training in the military, that's what they told us in basic training. Short of war, this is the worst you'll ever see, you know, conditions. And so obviously that's not to be compared with actual war. But, yeah, that's it. Money, follow the money. Just like with the big, I'm just going to expand this just a little bit. Just like with the NFL and other big box franchisees, they get a lot of money. They get a direct pipeline to from cities, states. They get these subsidies, and that's the same thing arms dealers are able to garner with respect to the continuation of a war. That's it for now.
Okay, sir. Is there something else you would like to discuss, sir?
Certainly. What I would like to do is just say, I always like to stay at home, local, and that is, like some of the gentlemen have expressed, is in the U.S. But I want to make it even more personal than that and deal with the micro instead of the macro. Now, Dave Ramsey recommends getting out of debt, getting the hell out of debt. MasterCard and Visa just raised their fees, and I know most people, most Americans, have those cards. And they also raised the fees on the merchants. So that's a triple whammy, if you please. So I would encourage people, and just one other link here, and that is the greatest exacerbator of health problems is stress. And the vast majority of stress comes from personal finance. 49% of people are living off revolving credit. 72% of Americans are financially fragile. So my admonition to everybody, fine, those foreign international affairs are fine, but you need to get the hell out of debt personally. And it doesn't matter how much money one has, if you're out of debt, you feel freer. And Dave Ramsey has a book called Baby Steps, Seven Steps to a Millionaire, Seven Baby Steps to a Millionaire, or a title to that effect. And so that's what I would encourage people to do. Focus on getting the hell out of personal debt, credit card debt, car loan debt, student loans, those what we call unsecured debt. And maybe you'll do a show on that at some juncture, David.
That would be great, but I would like to get some comments on that. Michael, what are your thoughts?
On which one? Comments on getting out of debt?
Yes.
I agree with Mr. Salusa. It's something I rarely ever do. I do agree we do need to focus on getting out of debt because, I mean, that's the cause of a lot of problems. And personal debt is eating, I think it's $1 trillion, if I'm not mistaken, that the Americans hold in debt right now. So that's definitely a problem, and it's going to sink this country. So we need to focus on it. So I agree with Solution on that.
Right. Michael, I'm going to keep tally. I know you're holding back, and that's fine, but I keep hearing you say, I agree with Solution on this, and it's rare. But it seems to be normative if you keep agreeing. So anyway, I just wanted to alert you to that. Thanks.
Fair enough.
Ron, what are your thoughts on it?
I didn't hear the beginning of it. I came on late, but I think the gist of it is about being in debt, and I agree with the two comments I've heard so far, Mr. Solution and Michael, that debt is not a good thing. I mean, it's a reflection of the country. The country is in huge debt, and most Americans, I think, are in a lot of debt, which is going to bury them in the long run. I find myself in a fortunate position where I do have a credit card. I have several credit cards, but if I use them, I pay them off at the end of the month. And sometimes it really hurts because sometimes it's several thousand, like $4,000 or $5,000. But I consider myself lucky that I'm in a position to do that. I know a lot of people, maybe most Americans, are not in the same position. So what I would suggest is, something that somebody taught me a long, long time ago is take your higher interest credit card and pay that off little by little and then get rid of it and then go to the next one and so on and so forth. But it's unbelievable, the interest rates. I think I got a credit card that wanted like 25 or 30% interest rate. And I started laughing when I saw that. I'm like, what the hell? Who do you think you are? You know? So if you can buy cash, you know, save up if you have to, but try not to use the credit cards.
Right. Don, what are your thoughts? Hello? Don might not be. listening with us.
Ditto, 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 David, ditto.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Solution, I think you were conservative when you said 70-some percent of Americans are struggling with debt, credit card debt, and debt in particular. I think it's 90% or more. It's gotten out of hand. It's gotten out of hand. I mean, I'm going to leave it like that.
All right. All right. Let's move on. Ron, is there something you would like to bring to the table this week?
Thank you, David. I'm sure I haven't been, I'm remiss because I haven't been on the show in months, really. So I'm sure everybody's been talking about the Hamas-Israel war, so I won't bore people and bring that up. But that seems to be like the main topic, aside from, you know, the presidential candidates for the Republican ticket, which I think from the little bit that I've heard, because I've really tried to disconnect from the news lately. You know, what the hell is going on with this guy from, I don't even know what country he's from, but attacking Nikki. And, you know, I'm so, and I'm not Republican, just, you know, but I'm so glad that I'm drawing blanks on names, of course, right now, but the former governor of New Jersey. Huh?
Chris Christie. Can't even pronounce his name.
Yeah. Chris Christie. I'm so glad that he came to Nikki's defense because, you know, that's just, you know, stooping way too low on a national stage, I think. And you know, you may or may not believe with everything that she does or says, but, you know, to drag her through the mud like that on national, international TV, in my opinion, it's disgusting, and just for that reason, if I were a Republican, I would write them off right away. I don't know what other thoughts anybody might have on that, but
anybody have comments on that?
Yeah, I could say
yes, I do. I do, David. I think he's a disgrace. I can't even pronounce his name. That's how much he means to me, Ron, and I know who you're talking about. And Robert Stami, whatever it is. But the thing is, I don't know his political. I don't understand why he's acting like that and treating Nikki like that. And you came on late, Ron. We were talking about Israel and Gaza, and everybody concurred. That's a major issue. You hit the nail on the head about the bashing. To say it very lightly, I see why Donald Trump didn't participate in the Republican debates. I mean, he made a smart move. That was a very
smart
move.
Yeah, he's smart not to do so.
Yeah, and then he counter-promoted it. Came down here and counter-promoted it. That's what happened.
Someone else. Michael, was it you that had more comments to make?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to weigh in on that. Well, first, okay. I'm going to just start with the Donald Trump not showing up to the debates. It is definitely helping him, but I think he's not showing up because I don't think he could actually go toe-to-toe on that stage. I think if he was on that stage, they would eat him alive, to be honest with you. Everybody knows Donald Trump's not a good debater. Everybody knows that. He doesn't give good speeches. He's not a good orator in any stretch of the imagination. So I think that's one of the reasons why he's not on that stage, because he knows he can't handle himself on that stage. Although it is working to his benefit not to be on that stage, it's definitely sending him up in the polls. In regards to the gentleman you were speaking of, Don Vivek Ramaswamy is how you pronounce his name. Yeah, first of all, he's 38. He's a young guy, and he's rich beyond imagination. The guy's almost a billionaire. He's worth like $900 million. He's loaded with cash. He's a tech bro. He's just a tech bro, a frat brother. He's just a jerk. Just call it what it is. He's up there taking shots at Nikki because he knows it's getting him ground with the MAGA crowd, with the Donald Trump crowd. He's vying for a position in the cabinet when Donald Trump gets elected. He knows he's not going to be the president. So he's just playing. I call him the Pete Buttigieg of the Republican Party. Exactly what Pete Buttigieg got into the race from nowhere and ended up getting the cabinet position. That's what Ramaswamy's working on doing. In regards to Chris Christie, I'm so glad to see Chris Christie up there fighting the good fight, but he's going to lose. But I'm glad to see him up there because he's the only one that's telling the truth. The problem is with him, he sounds like a bitter ex-girlfriend because he used to be all over Donald Trump. He was Donald Trump's best buddy. He was Donald Trump's debate coach in the last election. Now, Donald Trump and the Trump team turned their back on him because of some beef he had with Jared Kushner. That's another story, but there was beef within the party, within that team, and they kicked Chris Christie off the team. So now, all of a sudden, he's the bitter ex-girlfriend who wants to go after Donald Trump. So it's kind of disingenuous, although everything he's saying is on point. No one's taking him serious because everyone knows that he's just the bitter ex-girlfriend up there on the stage. In regards to Nikki Haley and why they're going at her so hard, they are going at her hard, but hey, she chose to swim with the sharks. She jumped in the race. She's fighting to be the president, so she has to take the attacks. And she can't just turn to the I'm a woman thing. Don't attack me so hard. She can't turn to that if you're trying to play quarterback to the starting football team, which is the United States of America. So, yeah, they are going at Nikki Haley hard, but, hey, she's in the ring with those sharks. Like I said, what did she expect? That's all I got.
All right. Like to welcome the other members who have come on. I would like to give some thought to something that has happened just recently, and I want to bring it to the panel so we can discuss it. But it's a guilty verdict against two Colorado paramedics for a 2019 death of a guy named Elijah McClain, and it could be a great chilling effect nationwide for all EMT people who are emergency medical technicians riding ambulances and stuff. Now, this verdict came for the two EMTs, but there were two police officers that they were working on this guy that the police officers had stopped and abused, and the police officers were let go, but the two medical Colorado paramedics have now been guilty. A guilty verdict, and so now people are concerned that this is probably going to have a chilling effect on all medical technicians from around the United States being afraid to do anything good for people. What are your thoughts on that? Let's go with people who just added on. What are your thoughts to that, Tony?
Yes, I got caught up in the football game. Sorry for no signing on. I have not gotten the details on that episode. I don't know. I really don't want to comment on it. I haven't known the details as to what actually happened. I would really love to hear more about this from the panel.
What really happened was he was about to have a heart attack or something, so they gave him some medication, and he should have been given, according to the medical people now, 300 milligrams, but they gave him 500 milligrams because that's what they were trained to do. Now they are being held for murder because the medical people are saying they overdid what they were supposed to do, but then that was what they were trained to do with somebody was about to have a heart attack or something. That's what they're supposed to do. All right. What about you, Ron? What are your thoughts?
I don't know the details, but it sounds like you're talking about 500 milligrams of aspirin, and I think the guy was going to die anyway. I don't think anybody would die from taking 500 milligrams of aspirin. Personally, I mean, I don't know much. I don't know a lot about medicine. I'll profess that, but I really don't think you're going to die from 500 milligrams of aspirin. So I think the guy was going to die anyway. So my personal opinion, if that's the gist of the case, which, I don't know the details, is that it's ridiculous and they should appeal.
Okay, it was ketamine, K-E-T-A-M-I-N-E, which is...
I don't know what that is.
But it should help someone who's about to have a heart attack, according to the, you know, statistics.
Well,
here.
Let me say this, David. Speaking from personal perspective, because I do have heart failure, and I have been treated by an EMT, and I was thankful that when I got into the ambulance, they did whatever they had to do, gave me whatever they had to give me. I consider it saving my life. I don't know if I would have died if they hadn't done what they did. But even if they did everything they needed to do and I ended up dying, I mean, obviously I'm dead, so I can't sue them. But, I think, you know, they're trying to save a life. It's not like they're out there trying to kill people, obviously. So I just think that's a little ridiculous.
Okay, ketamine is a dissociative anesthetic used medically for induction and maintenance of anesthesia. It is also used as a treatment for depression, a pain management tool, and it's also used as a recreational drug. So I think they were doing it for the pain management part. Okay, so what are your thoughts on that, Don?
Rod, you're absolutely correct. I mean, they're not doctors. I mean, they're there to assist until they can get to the proper facility and proper medical personnel that can give the true diagnosis to save a life. And I think they made the right decision. I mean, if I were in a situation like that, I would want them to use all methods to help me. I mean, the product can't fix the product, David. And you can't be your own doctor, because if you do, you're going to have a fool for a patient.
Right. He passed away 3 days later, and they claim it was because of what he received in the ambulance. So
what about it was his time to leave Earth?
Yes. But what dawns on me is police officers do all these things and people are passing away when the police officers do things that are ridiculous to individuals. But here the guys are trying to help to save someone, and they are now being, for murder. They're being charged with murder.
Where did this happen?
Colorado.
Oh, Colorado.
What was the nationality of the guy that died, and what was the nationality of the paramedics?
Oh, good question, Mike.
I'm not sure, but let me go back and do the research on it right quick. But anyway, let me go to Jeremiah. What are your thoughts? Okay, Jeremiah has no thoughts. All right. The gentleman that died was African American, and the paramedics are Caucasian. Mm. All right. Anybody have any other thoughts? What about you, Mr. Solutions? What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I'm not familiar with the case, but just based on what you have presented, it seems as if it were, if it was rather a policy problem. Now, they were found culpable of murder. I would have to look into that a little bit more, but it sounds as if it's a policy problem. And first of all, it's tragic that this kind of thing happens. You know, someone loses a loved one, and particularly the person who loses their life. It's tragic, but the good that can emerge from these sort of situations is, just like with the NSTB, the National Safety and Transportation Board, how they reconstruct an event in order to learn futuristically, that is, how to better their policy, their practices, and so forth. So I think that's the you know, the shining silver lining, as they say, that comes out of this. But I would have to have more information, because I know you brought up the police. I don't know exactly what role you said they played, but you said they exited and left the person in the care of the EMTs, and they, vis-a-vis their policy, overdosed the man, and that led to his, premature demise. And so, but it sounds more like a policy issue of the organization.
Spencer, do you have? I guess not. All right. Let's move around the table some more. Anyone want to bring anything that they think is important for the table right now? All right. Michael, why don't you bring something up?
Okay, great. Thank you, David, for calling on me. Yeah, I want to talk about, I'll take it back to my favorite person in the whole wide world, and that's Donald Trump. I want to ask the crowd right now, or the panel right now, do you guys honestly, because I do you guys honestly feel like Donald Trump, A, number one, is going to be the party nominee, and I think it's going to be him, and he's going to pick Nikki Haley to be his number two. So I think it's going to be Trump-Haley versus Biden-Harris. And like I said, I'm a Democrat, but I think the Republicans are going to win. Do you guys think Donald Trump is going to be in jail? Or do you think all of this, which is a lot, he's got a lot of felonies, 91 to be exact, 4 indictments. He's got a lot of criminal problems going on. Do you think all of those criminal problems will just go away and he'll serve in the White House? Because he's going to be the nominee, and it looks like he's going to be Biden. So what's going to be the end game here? I would love to hear from the panel to hear what do they think the end game is going to be.
Well, I'll just jump in first, if that's okay. Yeah, I think he will be the nominee, and I think he should be. I think all these charges that are being brought against Donald Trump, I'm not saying he has pristine hands, but this would not have been brought against him were he not the nominee. And like he said, this is banana republic tactics. Donald Trump is the economy, which is what I'm concerned about because that impacts the most people. He is the tried and true economy booster. He has the best experience, and I think he has the most intestinal fortitude, i.e. guts. And I think if he would pick someone like DeSantis, Chris Christie is a fat failure, okay? I'm just going to say it, call it like I see it. And he switches party. There's nothing to him. He's just sensational. But I think Trump will improve the economy. I think he'll improve foreign relations. And I'm not a MAGA person personally. I'm just looking at it objectively as I can. And I think he would be better for the country. I think he will police the border better. I think he will boost growth in the economy. And, you know, they say the rising tide lifts all ships. So I think things will be much better economically. And I think that international, i.e. foreign relations, will be vastly improved with Trump at the helm. So I think that and he should not participate with the other. What do they say? The person who comes in second place is first place loser. So I don't see any reason for him to debate with those underlings. That's it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. What are your thoughts on that, Ron?
I have a few thoughts. First of all, I agree that Trump is going to be the Republican nominee, unfortunately. And I think if it is Biden, which by all accounts it seems like it will be, Trump will win. So I agree with what you said, Michael. I personally would love to see on the Democratic Party a couple of much younger people. I'd love to see, for example, and I know people are going to react in a weird way when I say this, but I would love to see Gavin Newsom and Pete Buttigieg, for example, and take it like that. on the Democratic side, you know, bring in some fresh new ideas. I know California has issues, but I think they would be somebody good to run against Donald Trump. But I do want to say, in terms of international relations, I think our international relations, for the most part, are just as sound, if not sounder, than they were when Trump was president. Don't forget that when Biden became president, a lot of leaders from around the world said, "Welcome back, America." I don't know if you remember that, but also the comment was brought up about the border. Yes, it is a disaster. It's always been a disaster. It's been a disaster for decades, no matter who is in the White House. And don't forget that Trump said he was going to build a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. That never happened. So I think Trump is going to be the nominee, and I think he's going to win because, unfortunately, Biden, even though he's done some great things, he's just way too old, in my opinion.
Okay, Don, what are your thoughts?
I agree with everything that's been said thus far. Donald Trump will be get the nominee. He will be the Republican nomination for presidency of the United States. His running mate will be the Florida governor or Nikki Haley. I agree 100%. The thing that I'm concerned with is Donald Trump has had a shot at this for 4 years. And the tendency to repeat and get back in the saddle or get back in the race gives you an opportunity to take care of a lot of dislikes and people, places of things, especially when you have the tendency to hold resentments. And so the dictator spirit is going to be magnified like never before. And so you might as well get ready for it.
Right. All right, Jeremiah, what's your thoughts? Okay. All right. Let's move on then. Elton, Tony, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I was just listening to this. Very interesting comments. But I do believe he would be the nominee, but I question his objectives. I think he wants, it's a broad word to use, but to be in somewhat of a dictator. I think I've always felt that way about him. He wants to rule the country with an iron fist, and that's how I see him. Whether he would win the presidency, I don't know. It's what is happening today is very strange. I can't believe that he has that much support country, but he does. I mean, he has more support than any of the other people running for the presidency. So it's a wait-and-see attitude with me. I just want to see what happens. This is so unusual, so strange. I don't think anything like this has ever happened before, and I'm really watching this very closely to see where it leads.
Right.
That's
okay.
My thought.
Spencer, what are your thoughts?
Hey.
Hey, David, how you doing? Hey, David, may I add to the comment, please?
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to say, with the charges, I was remiss on bringing that up. 90-some charges, David, 90-some charges. I mean, David, if it was just one charge against me, man, they'd be all over my, I ain't gonna say it, but they would be all over me. I mean, I can't imagine having 90-some charges against me and then running for the presidency of the United States of America, the highest office in this world, with 90-something charges at the same time. That, I mean, that's got to be mind-boggling. Mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would like to respond to that, David, when the gentleman finishes.
You could take it right now, Mr. Solution.
Yeah, all right, well, okay, thank you. Charges do not equal guilty. He's not been convicted of anything. And any
Excuse me, sir. I didn't say he's been convicted. Just to be charged, that's what I'm saying.
Let me finish the point. I got your point. I understand your point. So what I'm saying is charges do not equal conviction. As they say that many people could be, a grand jury could indict a ham sandwich, I think the point is. And we know that these most people can see through this smoke screen, and it's not thick smoke at all. This is politically motivated, and I think part of a counterbalance is going to be the charges that are now being opened, which are legitimate. I think there's this issue of projection. Joe Biden's, and all of them are connected at the hip, Joe Biden's led prosecutors are pursuing Trump because they could have brought these charges years ago, but they saved it till now. These trumped-up charges, no pun intended, are designed to derail Trump's, campaign for the highest office. No one is fooled by this. We see through that, or at least most Americans do. And just being brought up on charges is meaningless, especially in this context, and even in other contexts, by the way. So I don't think we should confuse the intention with the reality. And the intention is to silence Trump. That's what they want to do. And I got to give it to the Democrats. They are dirty players. They are dirty players. And I wish the Republicans would take a page out of their playbook and return some of the favors, as it were. And maybe they will. Maybe they will. But I just say the charges alone don't prove anything to the person that is aware of what's actually occurring here. So that's the way I would really see that. Let's wait and see what comes out in trial.
Okay, so, Mr. Solution, real quick.
Can I just put in one point here?
Yeah.
What do you think about the charges or the indictments that they want to place against the current president? Is this a play? Is this some form of revenge? What is behind the objectives that they're trying to imply now towards the current president, where they want to charge him with something that they themselves don't have any evidence about?
Well, they have 20 shell companies. They have 20 shell companies that the president is involved with. So we'll see what this investigation yields. And the House just opened impeachment inquiries to actually subpoena the evidence and what have you. But they already have, think of this, 20 shell companies. Why should the president need that?
Okay, Mr. Solution, if I may. First of all, I take offense when you say most people can see what's going on to Donald Trump is a smokescreen, because I consider myself
his,
most people.
Hence his ratings.
Well, hang on, Mr. Solution, I didn't cut you off. I didn't cut you off. So please.
Oh, no,
let me
okay, fine. Go ahead.
Okay, I consider myself most people, and I don't see this being a smokescreen. I see 91 valid felony charges against Donald Trump. Now, you said with enthusiasm, like most Republicans say, what about these 20 shell companies? Let's focus on that. Where's your enthusiasm on the 91 felony charges up against Donald Trump? Let's focus on
that. Let me respond
Donald.
To that. Now, you just said something that a jury has not concluded. You say that they're valid.
Okay, you're not going to finish. You just cut me off like most Republicans do when they're getting their asses handed to them. They like to just jump in and just start gibbering. I did not cut you off.
Yeah, but you're
Please
not that.
Not cut me off. Please do not cut me off and let me finish my statement, please. Okay? Joe Biden is not this criminal that you guys are trying to make him out to be. Yeah, he got a crackhead son. Fair enough. But the son is not the president. Every 91 felony charges are valid charges against Donald Trump. And when you say the Democrat prosecutors are going after him, Jack Smith is a Republican. The Republicans, everyone that testified against the January 6th committee was a Republican. It's not the Democrats who are trying to take Trump down. It's the Republicans. And to be honest, it's just the criminal justice system that's taking down a valid criminal. That's all it boils down to. And when you, last thing, you said the Democrats are really slick. Really? After what the Republicans did with the Supreme Court nomination to stop Barack Obama from getting his pick and packing the courts, and you say the Democrats are slick and play dirty? That's laughable. Everyone knows the Republicans are the dirty, slick, feisty criminals who do not play by the rules. Now, most Americans can see that, okay? All right, I'm done.
Okay, sir, what you just said is absurd, particularly regarding the 91 charges. How the hell do you know that they're valid? They haven't been tried in a court of law. And that sounds more totalitarianistic and dictatorial to me than anything you've said heretofore.
How do you know the Biden Trumps are valid? The Biden charges are valid. How do you know that? The shell companies. How do you know
that?
I'm willing to see that.
Okay, now you cut me off. I'm willing to see the evidence, but when you say the charges are valid, you don't know that. You don't.
I saw January 6th with my own eyes. I saw that.
Okay, well, wasn't he acquitted? They tried him. He had an impeachment hearing for that. And that was, when he said go down there and protest peacefully and patriotically, how in the hell is he inspiring a riot? That's absurd, again.
Okay, I heard him on the phone in Georgia saying, find me 1,100 votes. I heard that phone call.
There you go, flip-flopping. He said, find, and given the context in which he spoke, that was a perfectly valid request because there were a lot of shenanigans having been observed, and he was simply saying in this shenanigan-filled context, see if you can find, and he didn't say, you know, create. He said, find. So anyway, going back to the January 6th, I know you carefully leave that out. Go down there peacefully and patriotically. Two P's. How is that inciting a riot? And that thing with the 91 charges, you need to go back and review what a court is designed for. That hasn't been validated by a court. That's just you in your kangaroo court saying that they're valid. But anyway, I hope you consider that. You like to disagree with me, and I'm sure you'll try and find something to do the same. But, you know, there you go.
Okay, a court in New York found him guilty of inflating his assets when he needed to get loans. They found him guilty of that one.
Well, look at it this way. I'm really interested that no banks, the alleged persons that were supposed to have been defrauded weren't there. This was the state carrying something. And I'm pretty sure you've gotten a loan, but since you're so enraged by Trump, usually it is the financial institutions that are able to police that aspect of the transaction because they are the ones that are actually extending the loan. Did you see any of the banks that he was supposedly to have defrauded or attempted to defraud? Were they there?
Okay, to your point, I just gave you three drums that we're beating in regards to Donald Trump, and you defended him, fair enough. You got one drum to beat on Biden, and that's his son, Hunter. That's the only drum you guys got to beat, and you're going to beat it into the ground.
Well, that's not exactly true because they have found links between Biden and Hunter. Biden had said he never had conversations with Hunter. That was proven to be false. He was in business with his son, Hunter. And when you look at the salacious things that Hunter was involved in, they are absolutely degrading, having sex with hookers and doing cocaine and just, you know, debauchery to the nth degree.
Donald Trump had sex with a hooker, and he paid her $100,000.
Well, okay, look.
Okay, exactly.
We don't know that that's true, and you're just throwing out accusations. These accusations really have nothing to do with the central issue.
Listen, Donald Trump's hooker's name is Stormy Daniels. Can you tell me Hunter Biden's hooker's name?
These are just sidebars.
Can you
these
tell
are
me
simply sidebars?
Can you tell me?
And let me
Biden
just tell you this,
name?
And final point. This won't work on Donald Trump. He has dealt with the lowest sorts of human beings, and he has won. And Donald Trump is a good administrator. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I do like what's best for the country. And like I said, the country was more stable economically. We were energy independent. So everything Biden has done, and people are now feeling it, he has wrecked Americans' pocketbooks, right? And so that is something. That is why I want to see someone in office who will actually help the most Americans. And Biden has proven he won't do that.
I've actually just heard in the news recently that the economy is headed in the right direction now. I've heard it several times from key financial indicators.
The Dow Jones just hit an all-time high of 37,000 points.
Well, okay, I'm benefiting from that. So, look, the economy is great for me, and it's great for a lot of people who fall in a small percentage. But as the gentleman said earlier, I pegged it at 72% because Bankrate.com and other financial institutions are saying that Americans are financially fragile at that particular percentage rate, and also that most Americans are living on revolving debt. That is, they're not paying off their credit cards at the end of the month. I have credit cards, and I think they're the greatest damn thing since sliced bread, but I'm not most people. And I think under Donald Trump's administration, more people flourish. If you look at your malls are becoming pigeon roosts, right? They're going out of business at a phenomenal rate. And don't think that the stock market reflects the general climate of the American populace, but it's not. The stock market is a kind of elitist thing. And so I'm boots on the ground. I'm looking at actually what Americans are experiencing. Inflation is ripping Americans apart. And go to the usdebtclock.org and see how indebted we are. We're drowning. We're in an ocean of debt. And so like Biden, that's not going to be alleviated or addressed.
Didn't Trump
steal money? Biden, he has stolen plenty of money. Go ahead.
Sir, you fail to realize the debt that occurred during the Trump administration.
I mean, why is there more
talking
about that?
But a lot has occurred under Biden with the Ukraine debt, the debt to Israel. And we don't have that money. We're being saddled with that money. Go to the U.S. debt clock and look at what a newborn baby owes, over $100,000. And most of them are going to feel the weight of that.
The Trump administration versus the Biden administration. Look at the debt occurred during the Trump administration and the Biden administration.
It's occurring now is my point, and the Democrats aren't going to pull back on the debt spending. They're going to absolutely drown the country in debt, as is occurring right now. So, you know, look at the figures. Are you familiar with the usdebtclock.org? Are you familiar with that particular instrument?
Yes,
Mr.
I am,
Solution.
But you fail to realize what I just said.
Why would the Democrats want to do that? Have you asked yourself that question? Is it because in your mind they're stupid, or is it because they don't know any better? What's have you thought of that?
Oh, they're not. Right. That's a good question. They're not stupid at all because, the more they can weaken the public, the more power they can attribute to themselves. That's just like in any despotic government. They weaken the people through hunger. That's a major means, and excessive taxation. I understand the IRS has bought so many millions of rounds. Now, why does the IRS need weapons? Why can't they get the sheriff in a local jurisdiction to go out there? That's an elected official who's responsible to the people. Why do IRS agents, and I heard they fired off a lot of rounds shooting themselves, they don't know how to handle the very weapons they're issued. But why should they be issued millions of rounds? That's a democratically...
Mr. Solusa, let's take this back, because like most Republicans, when you get caught in the corner, you start talking in circles. You enthusiasm.
First of all, I'm not a – okay, don't label me as a Republican.
Let me finish.
I think I'm independent. The Republicans sometimes have – the Republicans sometimes have a better position, and I go with what's best for the country.
Okay, well, let me say this. You almost nutted on yourself pointing out that Hunter Biden slept with a hooker. But then when I pointed out Donald Trump slept with the hooker, you started talking about all kind of other stuff. You guys, that's
well, I think that's a disparaging.
You.
Your name is Michael, right? That's a very disparaging statement. And I know you disagree with me.
Oh, now that I've pointed out Trump did it, it's disparaging. But it wasn't disparaging when you were pointed out about Hunter Biden.
Well, because my arguments tend to be more salient and stronger than yours, you get upset. So, okay, go ahead with the insults.
All right, gentlemen, let's not go there.
I'm for what's best for the country. Sorry, David.
Yes, stop. We only got 5 minutes left in the show, and there's all kind of questions coming in for the audience who would like to ask questions and break things up. So I'm going to go with some of those. And they're getting out of the politics, so we have to think about it. And I'm going to ask these questions, and I want the panel to think about and answer these questions. There's some coming. The first one wants to know, what are your current priorities for this season in your life and why? Don, you want to take that?
Yeah. Priorities for me in this season are getting out of debt. It was brought up earlier. Getting out of debt, number one. Keep it short. Let's keep it short, gentlemen. We only have a few minutes left.
All right. Ron, what are your thoughts on what are your current priorities for this season, in this season of your life, and why?
Very short, David. Getting healthier because I want to live longer.
Oh, that's good. Michael, what are your, what are your priorities for this season? I think they mean the holiday season. What are your priorities for the season of your life and why?
My priorities for this holiday season is to spend as much time with my loved ones as I possibly can, because tomorrow's not promised to anybody. That's the why.
Okay. Well, David, you put the holiday season in my, and that was not said to me. And I say ditto, same thing that Michael just said.
Okay. All right. Tony, what are your thoughts on what is your current priorities for this holiday season and the season of your life, and why?
Yes, and I totally agree. Going into another year, getting out of debt is priority, i.e. paying off all credit cards, which has been a challenge. So hopefully I can get that done before 24 comes in. That's my challenge.
Well, we're down to a minute and a half, so one more person. Elton, Tony, what are your priorities for this season in your life?
Oh, I just answered. Did I answer out of turn?
Yeah, no. You did good. Okay, Ron, what about you?
I said it, David. Get healthier so I could live longer.
Right. All right. We are going to move on. We want to say that we will not be back until January the 7th because we're taking the holidays off. Christmas is next weekend, and the weekend after is New Year's, so we take those holiday weekends off. The show won't be back to January the 7th, and we will have a PhD doctor on the air talking about a lot of things that we've always wanted to talk about. So we'll have a person on the show. So I'd like to say thank you very, very much. As we close out, you've been great listening.
Hey, David, just quickly, when you finish.
Go ahead. What is you want?
Yeah, I would just say we should probably, since so many people have referenced debt, and I think it is germane, I think we should have a debt show, how to exit debt and stay out.
Yes.
Of debt.
We will try to do that.
Okay,
all
thank
right.
you. And everyone have a wonderful holiday, including you, Michael, especially.
Thank you, Mrs. Solution, and ditto to you.
Happy holidays to all.
Happy holidays to everyone.
All right, so we will end the show, but we'll be back on my birthday, on January 7th. We will hope you all have a wonderful holiday. We all like all the listeners, and we will get back with you on January the 7th. Thank you.
All right, everyone. God bless.
No way.